you ready for Bereishis? How many people here were in Kohelish when we mentioned the first opening point about Sefer Bereishis that's important? Who wasn't in Kohelish? Not in trouble if you weren't. I don't know if I should repeat it. We mentioned that Sefer Bereishis begins three times. Of course, the first one is obvious because it begins where?
The beginning.
Where else does it begin?
No. Second story of creation.
You said the same answer in Kohelish, didn't you?
There are two creation stories, so the beginning of the second creation.
First of all, there aren't two creation stories, but where does the second one begin? Perek Beis, Pasuk Daleth. Let's take a look there. Ele Toldot Hashamayim VeHaaretz BeHibaram. Does that look like a new beginning? Okay. Where's the third beginning? The third beginning is the clearest beginning. What? Perek Hei, Pasuk Aleph. And interestingly, as Jakey's saying, the third beginning is the only one that actually introduces the Sefer. The Sefer Toldot Adam. The reason why is because Perek Aleph is introducing Perek Aleph. Perek Beis is introducing Beis Gimel Dalet. Perek Hei is introducing the rest of the book, as you know from the fact that it uses the word
Sefer.
Book. Sefer, right? We're not even going to start talking about Perek Hei this time. And what Sefer Toldot Adam means, because that's, well, we'll get to it next time, okay? What we do want to talk about is just seeing the relationship between the beginnings. Let's look at the first pasuk of each of these beginnings and summarize for ourselves what they're introducing. Let's also note the flow and transition between the beginnings. What's the difference between the beginning and the second beginning? Both of them are similar in that they're talking about X. They're different in that. Both of them are similar in that they're talking about Shemayim Baretz. Bereshit, Bara Elokim Shemayim Baretz. Perek Beis Pasuk Dalet, Eile Toldot, Shamayim Va'aretz Bibaram. Both of them are talking about Shamayim Va'aretz. The difference is that the first piece is talking about
creation.
The creation of Shamayim Va'aretz, Bereshit, Bara Elokim, et Shamayim Va'aretz. The second one is talking about?
I'm sorry.
Eile Toldot, Shamayim Va'aretz. And the reason I'm not thinking, I have to look at the words. Toldot means the flow, the history, the development, whatever word you want to use. The development of Shemayim Va'aretz. Now the question that Kolmar is bothered by. Kolmar's mistake came from the fact that he tried to explain what it was about based by looking at the Perek. Sounds reasonable, right? The Perek doesn't seem to fit with the introduction. Here, knowledge can be confusing, right? Prak and Beis Gimel Dalet seem to be about man and woman. Yet they're introduced as being about Shemayim Va'aretz. I'll tune in next week when we see how to explain this, right? Now, the relationship between the second beginning and the third beginning is both of them, both Beis Gimel Dalet and Hei and On, are both similar in that they are Toldot. They are different in that Beis Gimel Dalet is Toldot Shemayim Va'aretz. Hei is Toldot Adam. So you notice how Beis Gimel Dalet is like the first one, like the third one, different than both, and transitionary. It's like the first one in that we're still talking about Shemayim Va'aretz. It's like the third one in that we're talking about Toldot. But it's Toldot Shemayim Va'aretz. Isn't that cool, Kolmar?
What's the third?
Toldot Adam. It says Sefer Toldot Adam. Perek Hei Pasuk Aleph, right? So this week, we're going to talk about Perek Aleph. Next week, we're going to talk about Beis Gimel and Dalet. And 2 weeks from now, we're going to talk about Hey and On, and introduce the rest of Sefer Bereishis. You got the plan, Josh? That's why it's so sad to not be able to learn Parshat Bereishis properly, because there's so much there, right? What is the function of Pasuk Aleph? Function? Is it like a key on the bottom right of my calculator with the FN? What is the function of Pasuk Aleph? Zach's still trying to figure out Perek Beis is not a creation story? What about all those Vertlach that were written on it? It mentions creation, but it's not a creation story. How do you know? It tells you itself. It's about Toldot Shemayim Va'aretz, right? Yes. Reading the words, always helpful. Now, one can still ask the same Rosh Soloveitchikin and all the other questions about why creation is presented differently in the story about Toldot, but it's not a second creation story. Only one creation story, that's Perek Aleph, right? Getting back to the point, what is the function of Pasuk Aleph? To say that Hashem created Shemayim Va'aretz, okay. Did Hashem create Shemayim Va'aretz in Pasuk Aleph?
No.
No? So then what's the function? I don't know what that means. That's the kasha everyone asks. If Hashem didn't create Aretz until the third day, what does it mean, Bereishit Bara Elokim Shemayim Va'aretz? What's pshat? So there are all kinds of fancy explanations. He created the Chomer for the Shemayim and the Chomer for the Aretz. Why are we not bothered by that question?
It's a logical place to start.
What do you mean by logical place to start?
Because someone opens up the Torah.
Describe Pasuk Aleph. What is it?
It separates from my own.
It does separate, but in what way? Yeah?
It's like a general introduction.
It's an introduction. We all read it that way because we're used to reading things that way. But we don't spell it out. We read Pasuk Aleph as an introduction. It doesn't mean he created Shemayim Ba'aretz here. It's the introduction to a story that we're going to give you the details for later, right? Bereshit, Bara Elokim, et Hashemayim et Ha'aretz. We don't think that means the Aretz was created in Pasuk Aleph. When we read that the Aretz was created in the third day, none of us find that problematic. Because we understand it to be an introduction. Now, some of the Rishonim may not have seen it that way, realize that the Torah would use such a literary tool, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But this introduction, by the way, has a conclusion. Where's the conclusion? Vayechulu, Hashemayim, Ve'aretz, V'chol Tzvah, and the things that we just mentioned. Now, of course, that conclusion isn't the end. You ever see the movies, L'Havdil, where you know it says the end, and then there's like more stuff going on?
Yeah.
It causes you to wait to see the end of the credits in all other movies, which is what they want you to do, right? The first guy was just trying to be cool. But now they're just trying to get you to see who took care of the hair, who took care of getting coffee. You guys ever heard of there's a building in Greece, in Athens, called the Pantheon? Have you heard of it? Who built the Pantheon? The Greeks. Oh, I'm sad. But what were their names? Yeah, such a building like that, nobody wrote their name on it. Today they put out a 5-minute documentary, there's 20 minutes of credits. Because today we live in a world where if I don't get my name up in credits, it wasn't worth it. What was the name of the dude? Put that big shit right on the bottom. It was put up by the dude, right? No? People had some bigger project in mind. Anyway, getting back to the point. It's not really the conclusion, because how does it transition into the last piece that's tacked on here? Vayechulu Hashamayim Va'aretz V'chol Tzvam Vayechal Elokim V'yom HaShvi'i Melechto Asher Asah. He created Shemayim Va'aretz in 6 days, but the work was completed on the seventh day. And that, of course, is the whole backdrop for the uniqueness of Shabbat, right? And it's part of it, but not part of it placement. Okay, so we have a beginning and a conclusion. You with me? Okay. What's the structure of Perek Aleph? Very simple, right? What's the structure? Well, there are bookends. What's the structure within?
6 days.
6 days, right? And here it's very clear, because at the end of each day it says, so here you don't have to discuss it. But now what's the next question you need to ask?
Why does it need to mention that?
Well, you can ask about the whole thing. What are we meant to learn from here? But as far as, constructively asking about this structure, yeah?
Does it set up for the next?
Well, you're already assuming a certain type of answer. Without even assuming a certain type of answer, the question would be, what is the significance of this six-day structure? What are we meant to learn? We know how to break it up, and now we have to understand what to learn from it. So what do you look for? What would the next step be when you find a piece that has six parts to it? What are you doing? What? You're looking for relationships, right? Well, anyone familiar with any relationships here between the 6 days? Yes?
1 to 4, 3 to 5.
Oh. You've cheated, haven't you? You've heard this before. You knew this on your own. You found this on your own. Yes? Jakey. Oh, I thought I saw you flexing fingers over there. You were just flexing. You weren't raising your hand. You did flex, right? I'm not confused. If you take a look carefully at day 4, you will notice how similar it is to day 1. To the point where Chazal was even bothered by the question. What was created on day 1? What? Light. What was created on the 4th day? The sun, the moon, and the stars. And the obvious question is, if you didn't have the sun, the moon, and the stars, what did light mean? So that's where they get the idea of this eternal light that's saved for the tzaddikim in the next world. Okay? It means the concept of light. 2nd day, what did God create? He separated between the sky and the water. What did he create on the 5th day? Birds and the fish. On the 3rd day, he created Shratei Maim. On the 3rd day, he created dry land. What was created on the 6th day? Land creatures. Anyone get any idea here? God is a smart dude.
He's pretty smart.
He's pretty smart
and will be pretty smart.
Was, is, and will be. Yes. Smart dude. Okay. In any case, the obvious question, okay, very nice. What does all this mean? So now we've divided into 2 parts. 1, 2, 3 verses 4, 5, 6. What would the next logical question be? To look for what's added in part 2 beyond part 1. How are 4, 5, and 6 different than 1, 2, and 3? How is it a second round? Further? More?
Put into those places.
Sorry?
Like 1, 2, and 3 are like background, and 4, 5, 6 were put it into those places.
I agree. Again, I think that's correct, even though the text doesn't spell that out. Let's start from the text, and then we'll get to your point. The text, 4, 5, and 6, and I want to show you how to get to it, not just because you have your idea. I said that 4, 5, and 6 are longer than 1, 2, and 3. Quantitative. What is described there more than what we had in 1, 2, and 3? What kind of thing do we have in 4, 5, 6 that we don't have in 1, 2, 3?
The actual creatures that belong there.
Well, skull. And it seems to be, I don't know that that is a qualitative difference.
Physical. Point of skull. Of, sorry.
What do you mean function?
1, 2, and 3 are purposes.
What do you mean by function? Explain. In 4, 5, and 6,
what's created is
God gives a meaning and purpose to what he creates. Let's note, for example, you can take a look here in your handy-dandy book. If you go back to the beginning, all the way back to the beginning. The very beginning. Page 7. So to see the relationship between the beginning and the end. By the way, there's a famous medrash, bottom of page 7, which says that Shabbos came to God and said, God, every day of creation has a partner except for me. Oh. Who's my partner? What did God say?
Who would be on the day?
The Jews. What does it mean every day has a partner? When you know the structure of Farakalov, you understand exactly what this means. Mm-hmm. Not just it happens to be an even number. Anyway, getting back to the point. If you look at day 1, it says, God named light day and darkness night. God separated between the darkness and the light. If you look in Pasuk Yudalet now, it says, there should be lights in the sky. That will separate between the day and the night. Who's going to separate now? The sun and the moon. V'ayu, Pasuk Yudalet, le'otot. Ulamoadim, Uliyamim, Vishanim. They have a role to play. Signs, marking times, days, years. In fact, Pasuk Tetzayin, the Ma'orot are described as having Memshala, rulership over the day and night, having the role of division. Okay. Day 5, as opposed to 2, God creates the fish. What is God? God speaks to the fish. Did God speak to light? Did God speak to the sea and the sky? Did God speak to dry land? God speaks to the fish. We're moving up in level. What does he say to the fish? You have a job. What's your job? What's your job? He blesses them and he tells them, what's your mission? What's your responsibility? Now, of course, man, on the next level, in Pasuk above, we're told about why God creates man. We're told what the mission is. He has a lengthy bracha, which includes not only multiplying, but populating and harnessing the world for the purposes of why it was created. So I agree with what Michael said, that 1, 2, and 3 is the backdrop. 4, 5, and 6 are the things that fill those frameworks, but it's not just technical. It's the things that have responsibilities, that have a mission. The reason we're telling you about God's creation is not to tell you how God created. There are all kinds of people who try and figure out how this description relates to what we know from science, which I'm not against, but it's totally not shaykh. Because the Torah isn't trying to describe to you how. The Torah is trying to describe to you for what. What you're meant to learn from the world that you see around you. What the responsibilities and purpose of each thing is. And most importantly, the climax of creation, the purpose and responsibility of man. Right, this book is not being written for fish or for the stars. It's being written for man, and that's the climax of the story. To understand the purpose and responsibility. That's why the story of creation, beyond just knowing that God created the world, which is important, because that you could have done in one pasuk, why the story is being told to us. Everyone gets the idea? Anyone who is not going to be continuing with this Sashir, please give your booklet to somebody else on the way out. Unless you want to keep it, you can keep it, not come to the shiur. If you want to keep a booklet, use it, fuck a shot. Anyone who does not have a booklet and would like to get one can come with me. And I'd be happy to give you one. People like this to do a little verb, do a little bracious, but okay. Yeah. Next week we'll start on time. We don't need an introduction. We'll get all right. Remember to bring your booklet. Remember to bring your booklet. First of all, someone can have this one. Anyone? Yes. I have more. Just give me one that I have. Yeah. There's more. Don't panic. Yes. I will give you more.
Are they the same year to year?
They're not the same from 5 years ago. I reprint them every once in a while. The same as last year, yeah.
Because there's one in my room that yes.
Go for it. Go for it. If it has the same cover, for sure, because they always change the cover. If it has the same cover, it's definitely the same, yeah. Yes, Gabby Nelson.
No, I can't have him.
Oh, you're talking to him. Okay. Yeah, I'm not insulted. Eric Castleman. How's Shabbat every time?
Let's go back to Bereshis, or forward to Bereshis, whichever way you see it. Depends which way you're turning. We did Bereshis only the first week. We did Perek Aleph, or the Perek Beis, right? Remember, we saw the first week. Anyone was here the first week when we talked about it? Okay, good. So we saw the first week, the three openings for Sefer Bereshis, right? What was the first opening? Bereshit Bara Elokim, the Shemayim Vet Aretz. What was the third opening for Sefer Bereshis? Where was it?
Okay.
The introduction to the book, Hey Aleph. The Sefer Toldot Adam. That's why it's an introduction to the book, as opposed to the first four parakim, which are introductory segments. What's the middle introduction? We saw Perek Bet Pasuk Talib. What's the introduction?
Toldot.
Shamayim Varis. Is this introduction like the first one or like the third one?
The first one.
In what way is it like the first one? It's talking about Shamayim Varis. In what way is it like the third one? It's Toldot. So if I had to summarize it using English words, I would say the first piece, Perek Aleph, is about the creation of Shamayim Varis. From Perek Bet on, we're no longer talking about creation, we're talking about development. If I had to give a rough translation of the word Toldot, right? The development, the change, the history. The difference between Beis Gimel Dalet versus the rest of the Sefer is that the rest of the Sefer is talking about the development and history of
mankind,
right? Beis Gimel Dalet is talking about the development of
nature.
Well, the words the Torah uses,
Shemayim
Baritz. Well, those are good words, but might as well use the Torah's words, right? Shemayim Baritz. Now, the question we left off last time we were talking about Bereshis is that these are very nice words, but it doesn't seem to make any sense. Because what are Beis Gimel and Dalet about?
People.
It's the sin of people, right? First we have this, the creation and placement of Adam Arishon, right? Chava, and the sin of Adam, and then the sin of Cain, right? So what's Pshat? I don't know if I have enough time to go through the whole unit. We'll do whatever we can, but let me give the answer to this question because this is the most important question. Anyone? What's the answer to this question? Everyone understands the question, right? There's two reasons people don't answer questions. One, they don't know the answer. B, they don't understand the question. So if you don't understand the question, I want to make sure I'm explaining it well, right? Okay, what's the answer to the question?
Great deal about how creation works in the
world. Well, creation, I wouldn't use the word creation because...
Our relationship with the creation and the way that it all works and how we relate to the land is very different based on the
day. Okay, I think Shu and I are saying the same thing. You'll tell me if we're not, okay?
I'll agree with you.
No. You're not there. I want to learn what I'm not saying, something different. Beis, Gimel, and Dalet are about Toldot, Shamayim, Va'aretz, because Shamayim Va'aretz change. They develop. They're different than the way God created them. They are about the change to Shamayim Va'aretz. How does this change happen?
Through man.
I think this is what Yeshua was speaking about. There's an interface between man and the world. The world is created for man and functions based on who man is. If man is good, he lives in Gan Eden. If man is bad, he's kicked out of Gan Eden and the world changes too. The world changes. Now, by the way, this is a lesson that we hear many, many times throughout the Torah and Tanakh. What's the most famous example of a parsha that discusses how the world changes based upon man? Kriyat Shema, second parsha, right? If you listen, it'll rain and it'll grow. And if you don't, then it won't. It begins here. And I think this is the answer to a major question that maybe we don't ask. Maybe we do ask. Perek Aleph in Sefer Bereishis describes God's creation of a world. God created it, right? This is the world God wanted. And we talk about God is good and He wants to benefit us and give us good things. Is this world such a good, great, wonderful place? Again, maybe you're at an age and stage in life where it's hard for you to see that the world isn't so perfect and so simple and so pure. This is the great gift of God to man. If anything, you could reach the opposite. God is a vindictive, mean God because He creates a world full of suffering. It said God's created this for Yahweh people. If this is good in God's eyes, the way people have to suffer, the way people have to work hard and have pain in childbirth and fight with each other and the ground doesn't produce, this is the good world God created. Beis Gimel Dalet will answer that question. God created a world that was good, it 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 was good. Then man came. And man did things that damaged the world, that caused the world to change because of his sins. First, Adam and Chava. And what that brought, the curses in the wake. And then Cain and Abel. Who introduced murder to the world? God? In fact, it's so interesting, Chazal tells Cain couldn't figure out how to kill Abel. Didn't know what he was doing, right? The reason Chazal described that so that it wasn't something that man was naturally educated to do. It's supposed to planting, right? And because man murders, the land stops providing for him, even if he works hard, right? That was the curse that Cain got, right? Meaning, the curse of Adam God is now you're going to have to work hard. The curse of Cain God is you can work as hard as you want, it's not going to produce you because you've defiled the land you live on. If you live incorrectly in your world, it won't produce even if you work hard. Which is even more frustrating than, work hard, okay, work hard, it works, and okay, everything's good. Sometimes you work hard and it doesn't work. Why not? Because we're sinning. And the way it's described in other ways, now again, pays very much to learn it inside and see it, and go through it. Perek, we'll give a brief introduction. We'll do it more after Sukkot.
Perek Hey is Ze Sefer Toldot Adam. Ze Sefer Toldot Adam. Let's take a brief look. Let's take a look together, everybody. We're going to go through these little dollars hard in just a few minutes. Perek Hey. Perek Hey goes quickly through 10 generations, right? Correct?
Yeah.
I think you could call this a vertical toldot. Because we don't talk in any generation about how they spread out. We're just using the births to get from person 1 to person 10. We're using this parak goes from Adam till
Noach.
If you look at Noach for a second, Pasuk Chavtet. Chavtet says that Lamech lived 182 years and had a son. He called him Noach. This should bring us nechama from our deeds, umiyitzvoni adenu, and from our suffering. Mina adama asher era Hashem. It was cursed after Cain, cursed after Adam. There was some reason that people thought when Noah was born, I'll talk about why, there would be a nechama, there would be a change. The land would become better. Now, of course, Noah himself was great, but the world around him didn't become any better, and therefore the whole world had to be destroyed. There's a problem not only with man, but the way man is affecting the world, right? For the Mabba has to destroy the whole world to start over. Of course, after the 10 generations, in the end of Perakeh, Parshas Noach focuses in on the generation of Noach and what happens after Noach, right? The Torah Plagah, the tower. And then in the end of Noach, we have a very similar toldot. We have other kinds of toldot. For example, if you look in Perak, at the end of Perak Yud, if you look in the end of Perak, all of Perak Yud, you'll see a horizontal type of toldot, where we talk about how the three sons of Noach, Shem, Ham, and Yafet, spread out to repopulate and civilize the world. It's horizontal. Now we're interested in each of them and where they went. But at the end of Perek Yud Aleph of Noach, we have another 10 generations where we go from Shem to
Avram.
What you're starting to see already is that the goal of the Torah is not to talk about all the history of the world. It's to talk about certain generations and the lessons that God feels out of the Torah are important for us to learn. And the most interesting thing, and there's a lot more to talk about it, and after God, we'll talk about it more. If you compare the list of Perek Yud Aleph to Perek Hey, you notice a very important striking difference. They're very similar. In Perek Hey, it describes how this guy lived a certain amount of years, and he had such and such a child, and after he had that child, he lived in many more years and had children, summarizes his life, and says he died. If you look at the list in Perek Yud Aleph, it's very similar. It says, Yankala lived for so many years and gave birth to Beryl. After he gave birth to Beryl, he lived the following more years and had sons and daughters. There's one thing missing in the second description that appeared after each one of the first.
What?
Doesn't say he died. No, they did die. Everyone in the second list died too. Why does it mention in the first list that they died and not in the second list? Because in the first list they did more than die. They died absolutely. Why did they die absolutely?
They sinned terribly.
That is true. That's what caused them to die absolutely. But how did they die absolutely?
The world they affected got destroyed. We're talking about the first list.
Yeah. How? What way did they die absolutely?
The world that they
affected. The whole world was wiped out.
Yeah.
It's not just this guy died. He and all of his children and grandchildren, they all died. They were a world of death, as opposed to this world that was a world of generating life. Again, there are lessons here to learn from all these things, and we'll go slower after Sukkot, where we'll have to do Dvarim and Bereishis. Everyone got an idea what this year is about? Anyone who wants a booklet, come up to me. I don't have it right now. Come up to me later, and I'll have to give you a booklet to use, etc. Seder? Good. Yom Yun, upstairs, Yom Tovshani, followed by other Shiurim.
Same with any manager. Yeah?
Yeah.